The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. A Pharisee invited Jesus to dine with him. And he entered the Pharisee's house and reclined at table. Now there was a sinful woman in that city who learned that Jesus was at table in the house of the Pharisee. Bringing an alabaster flask of ointment, she stood behind him at his feet, weeping, and began to bathe his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and anointed them with the ointment. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who and what sort of woman this is who is touching him, that she is a sinner." Jesus said to him in reply, "Simon, I have something to say to you." "Tell me, teacher," he said. "Two people were in debt to a certain creditor. One owed 500 days' wages, the other owed 50. Since they were unable to repay the debt, he forgave it for both. Which of them will love him more?" Simon said in reply, "The one, I suppose, whose larger debt was forgiven." Jesus said to him, "You have judged rightly." Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? When I entered your house, you did not give me water for my feet, but she has bathed them in her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but she has not ceased kissing my feet since the time I entered. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she anointed my feet with ointment. So I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven because she has shown great love. But the one to whom little is forgiven loves little." Jesus said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." The others at table said to themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" But he said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." Afterward, he journeyed from one town and village to another, preaching and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. Accompanying him were the 12 and some women who had been cured of evil spirits and infirmities. Mary, called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had gone out, Joanna, the wife of Herod's steward Huzza, Susanna, and many others who provided for them out of their resources. The Gospel of the Lord. We are now 188 days into the 349-day extraordinary Jubilee of Mercy, a period of special grace that, like every ecclesiastical holy year, is meant to have a profound influence not just on everything the Church does in our evangelizing, sanctifying, and shepherding of God's people, but in our individual lives as Catholics. It's no coincidence in God's providence that this first given forum is taking place within the extraordinary Jubilee, because the full flourishing of the feminine genius that is so important for the life of the Church is enveloped within the mystery of mercy given by God, that in turn is given by grateful, transformed, redeemed women to others. The revolution of love that Jesus came into the world to bring to fulfillment is a mission that he has in a special way entrusted to the leadership of women. Women through their special God-given aptitude for receiving and reciprocating love, are called to be professors in the school of love that is the home, that is the church, and that's meant to be the world. And so today, as we conclude the 2016 Given Forum with an exclamation point of Eucharistic gratitude to God, we allow the Lord to give us His special valedictory address in today's Gospel on merciful life in the life of merciful love in the life of women. It's what we could call a special divine commencement address, in which Jesus hopes to inspire each of us present here in a special way to begin something new and adopt an action plan of merciful love that will extend not just through next April, but give meaning and motivation to the rest of our life. In the Gospel, Jesus teaches us in a moving and unforgettable way the open secret about how to grow in love, which is a lesson at the heart of this extraordinary Jubilee of Grace. After the inhospitable Simon the Pharisee takes offense at Jesus allowing a woman known to be sinful to bathe his feet with tears, dry them with her untied hair, sign that she was a prostitute, and drench them in ointment, Jesus asks Simon a question about gratitude, mercy, and love. Which of two people who owed a huge debt, he queried, would be more grateful for the debts being forgiven? One who owed a year and a half's salary, or one who owed 2 months? Simon replied that it was likely the one who had been forgiven more. And Jesus, affirming his answer, drew the striking moral. Her many sins have been forgiven because she has shown great love. But the one to whom little is forgiven loves little. Simon loved little because he had a tiniest of openings to receiving God's mercy. And he wasn't open as much as God wanted him to be because he didn't think he needed God's mercy. The woman was capable of great love because she knew how much love she needed and how much mercy she had received. To grow in love for God and for others, in other words, we must have first the experience of the Lord's merciful love. St. John tells us this in his first letter. In this is love, he said, not that we have loved God, but that he has loved us, and not just in a sentimental way. He's loved us by sending his Son as an expiation for our sins. And this is love, in other words. Not our sacrifices given unselfishly for others, but in this is love. The mercy that was given to us on Calvary. The greater our experience of God's mercy, of our being loved by God while we were still sinners, as St. Paul would say, the greater our capacity will be for loving God and loving others. And when we realize, through another parable of Jesus, that God has forgiven each of us a debt of 10,000 talents, a talent was 6,000 days' wages. So to forgive us 10,000 talents means to forgive us 60 million days' worth of work, or 165,000 years of work without any Sabbath days off. When we recognize we have been forgiven that much, then we grasp that we're spiritual trillionaires, having been enriched by God who is great in mercy, so that we are capable not just of forgiving others the much smaller debts they've accumulated against us, but also of allowing that love of God to overflow from us in so many other ways as we give ourselves, our tears, our kisses, our head, our hands, our heart to others, and allow the sacred anointing with which God has bathed us to anoint those we meet. This is what we see in the second half of today's Gospel, in the life of St. Mary Magdalene, the life of Joanna, Susanna, and the many others who accompanied Jesus and the apostles and provided for them out of their resources. This was not a group of bored do-gooders who figured that these wandering 13 men would be lost without their feminine genius and maternal practicality. No, St. Luke tells us that they were all women who had been cured of evil spirits and infirmities. Each of them had received from Jesus a physical healing, a spiritual healing, or both. And having received much, they responded by loving much. And they wanted to give Jesus and his mission all the love, the time, and the material goods they could. We see the same lesson with King David in today's first reading, when after having been accused by Nathan, he confessed his sin and spent the rest of his life not only praising the Lord for his mercy, but seeking to love and serve him and help his people learn to repent, to love and faithfully serve him too. He wrote down the words in today's psalm, "Blessed is the man whose fault is taken away," so that others with him, including us today, could appreciate, praise, receive, and pay forward God's mercy. We see the same lesson of loving much after having received great mercy in today's second reading from St. Paul. Remember what the doctor of the Gentiles wrote to the Christians in Corinth, that he felt that he had been born dead. The Greek word there is born in abortion. That he was the least of the apostles and not fit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But then he said, "But by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace to me hasn't been ineffective. Indeed, I toiled all the harder. Not I, however, but the grace of God within me." St. Paul's receiving of the Lord's extraordinary mercy led him to toil harder than all the rest, because he had felt that he had received more love than all the rest. And because of that, he crisscrossed the ancient world, suffering all that he did, that he describes for us in his second letter to the Corinthians, and became ultimately an ambassador of Christ, God, as it were, appealing through him to everyone he would meet, as we hear each Ash Wednesday, "Be reconciled to God. Open wide the doors of your heart to the Lord's love." He was so pervaded by this gift of God's mercy, what he called the grace of God within me, that he was able to say in today's second reading, "I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer even I who live. It's Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved not the human race, who loved me and gave his life up for me." Crucified to the world and the world to him, he was now living by God's mercy and was giving his life to help the Christians of his age and ours to do the same. We see the same lesson conspicuously displayed in the lives of the 21 women who have gone before us, whom you have taken as your inspiration during this forum. Women who have experienced mercy. Women who have become, through that experience, incredible witnesses of mercy. Women who have responded to that mercy by giving their lives to others through the corporal and spiritual works of mercy that will never be forgotten. Women like Dorothy Day, Elizabeth Lesieur, Faustina Kowalska, Flannery O'Connor, Josephine Baquita, Mother Teresa, and so many others. Even Saint Therese, whose confessor doubted she had ever committed a mortal sin, considered herself an even greater witness to God's mercy, because she thought God, seeing her greater weakness, gave her the grace sufficient to remain faithful when tempted. She responded to that gift by seeking, with God's help, to become what every woman has received the vocation to become. Dans le cœur de l'Église, ma mère, je serai l'amour. In the heart of the church, my mother, I will be love. She sought to fulfill that vocation in Carmel with her cantankerous older sisters in religious life and with a missionary heart to the end of the world. This is a lesson of mercy that we see perhaps most beautifully displayed in the life of the 22nd female inspiration, the greatest female genius of all time, in whose house we've now been welcomed, who at her conception was blessed with the gift of God's prevenient mercy, who would later have her spirit rejoice in God, her Savior, whose mercy is from age to age, and who remembers his promise of mercy to Abraham and his descendants, including us spiritual Semites, forever. And who would spend her whole life, and now eternity, going mercifully in haste to bring her Son mercy incarnate to others, to encourage them and us to do whatever he says. They all loved much because they all had a profound recognition of how much they had been loved by God in his mercy. They all gave much because they grasped how much they had been given. And they're not just inspirations for us, but intercessors, that we might, like them, learn and live that same most important lesson that Jesus teaches us in the gospel, and help those we know and even the whole world to learn and live that mercy too. And the greatest school of merciful love God has given us is the classroom the Divine Master opens for us every day here at Mass. This is where Jesus says, "This is my body given for you," so that we, having received this gift, might be given in love for others. This is where he goes far beyond pouring out tears on our feet, but pours out his blood for us and for many for the forgiveness of sins. And this is where the maternal dimension of God's love reaches its zenith. God would tell us through the prophet Isaiah, "Can a woman forget her suckling child or have no mercy on the child of her womb? But even if a mother were able to forget, I would never forget you." This live participation in the Last Supper in Calvary is where Jesus, like the mother pelican for her toddlers during a famine, opens wide his breast to breastfeed all of us, to pour out his blood and water, giving his own body and life, so that we, his beloved, might not perish, but survive, grow, and have life to the full. This maternal dimension of mercy, which sacred scripture calls rahamim, is what we not only encounter here, but ingest here. It's this tremendous outpouring of merciful love that changes us on the inside to love others with the same holy rahamim with which God has loved us first. And so let us, like the women in today's gospel, pour out our gratitude and all we are and have at the foot of the altar where Jesus will soon descend, so that like Joanna, Susanna, and Mary Magdalene, like King David and the Apostle Paul, like Dorothy and Elizabeth and Gianna and Rose and Catherine and so many others who have been cured of evil spirits and infirmities, we might go in that long pilgrimage accompanying Jesus and the successors of the apostles on the action plan of the salvation of the world by helping the world receive God's mercy and lavishly love in response to that gift which never ceases to be given. Praise be Jesus Christ. Amen.